Let us read together Psalm 22, responsorial by half verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer.
My night is well, but I find no rest.
Yet you are the Holy One.
Enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Our forefathers put their trust in you.
They trusted and you delivered them.
They cried out to you and were delivered. But as for me, I am a worm and no man.
Scorned by all, despised by the people.
All who see me laugh me to scorn.
They curl their lips and wag their heads.
He trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, if he delights in him.
That you are he who took me out of the womb. I have been entrusted to you ever since I was born.
You are my God, and I was still in my mother's womb.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
And there is none to help.
Many young bulls encircle me.
Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their jaws at me. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint.
My heart within my breast is melting mass.
My mouth is dried out like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth.
You have laid me in the dust of the grave.
Packs of dogs close in, and gangs of evildoers circle around me. They stare and gloat over me. Be not far away, O Lord. Save me from the sword. Save me from the lion's mouth. I will declare your name to my brethren.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered.
Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with the police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." So Jesus replied, "I am he." Now Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said, "I am he," they stepped back and fell on the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him.
First they took him to Annas, was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. Caiaphas was the only one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself.
Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him to be bound to Caiaphas the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?"
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And they shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him in the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews, "Here is your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did.
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "In order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldier came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: none of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Perhaps the most difficult part of life for human beings, the thing that causes the most fear and anxiety, is the knowledge that we will all die. We will all go through the same gate, as Sufi scholar and poet Rumi says. The fear binds most of us and keeps us focused on anything and everything to avoid thinking about death, talking about death, or being in the presence of death, for it signals the end of existence that we have no control over whatsoever. Yet here we are on Good Friday, faced with a human being like us who chose to die in a horrifying manner on a cross. Who is this person? To what end did he die? These questions and more rise for many of us as we struggle to make sense of Jesus' death and the power of that cross. Some of you might remember Bob's sermon a few weeks ago when he talked about God communicating with Ezekiel and the dry bones. Throughout the Bible, we hear the stories of God reaching out to humans, from Adam and Eve to Noah, Job, Abraham, and of course, Moses. When we encounter the story of Jesus, we hear that God communicated in a different and more profound way by coming into the world God created through incarnating in Jesus. God, that same God in the Hebrew scriptures who communicated with Ezekiel and Moses, took up residence, so to speak, in Jesus. An amazing thing about God incarnating in Jesus is that Jesus agreed. He had a choice. He could have said, "No, thank you very much. I like being a carpenter and hanging out with my family and my friends. I know Mom said okay, but I'm my own person." But he did not say that. He listened deeply to God, and he followed. He consented fully to God existing in him. The result is astounding and shocking. God, through Jesus, now feels human desire and joy, as well as human need, pain, fear, powerlessness, and abandonment. God, through Jesus, feels what it is like for humans to die. And Jesus, the human, is totally transformed. He is made perfect, meaning mature, whole, and complete. Jesus contains God. We hear it in Jesus' word. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I and my Father are one. And we hear it throughout the Gospel of John as Jesus describes himself as I am. I am the good shepherd, the true vine, the gate. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection. I am, says Jesus, the great I am. I am God. Jesus' whole life is a revelation of God to us. It reveals God as love and the source of healing. It reveals God as one who has real desires for us to live in harmony, beauty, and peace. It reveals God as desiring to be known. Jesus, the human being infused and fused to God, points out over and over that human beings are separated from God. We sin when we live as individuals and as a society in such a way that abuses power and seeks our own self-interest over the common good. When we fail to care for the sick, the poor, the oppressed, and the refugee. It becomes clear when we look down the long hall of history that making change is difficult for humans, let alone living according to God's desires for justice. Strides have been made, we cannot deny that. But we also need only peek at today's headlines or turn on the TV to hear and see how much work is still before us. Not only is Jesus' life a revelation to God, to us, but so is his death. Even death is contained in God and felt by God. Our reading from Hebrews today helps us to hear that Jesus' death created a pathway for human beings to live and to die as Jesus did, with God. To hear that God really is Emmanuel, God with us. Our reading from Hebrews said that Jesus' spirit passed through the heavens into the presence of God. Jesus the Christ sympathizes with our weaknesses and has been tested, tempted in every respect as we have. We are encouraged to cry out to God our deepest fears, anger, anxiety, and pain, just as Jesus did. And we are assured that we will receive mercy and grace to help us. Sometimes we glimpse grace by getting through the long, dark night. Sometimes we discern it when we can find a smile once again after a great loss. And sometimes we recognize grace and mercy when we listen deeply to God, surrender to what we can discern is God's desire for our lives, and attempt to align our hearts and our minds with the desire God has for humans to live with integrity, love, freedom, and peace. What God offers us through Jesus in all circumstances is transformation with the aim of becoming whole, healed, completed, restored, like Jesus perfected. In other words, saved. Through Jesus' life and death, our separation from God, our sin, became an illusion. God is with us, even at the hour of our own death. Listen deeply, good friends, for God is communicating and will never leave us alone. For neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen deeply. Amen.